We do have lessons that go along with each of these presentations. You can obtain a lesson for free. Just go to the Prophecy Odyssey website. Just simply prophecyodyssey.com. You'll see a link where you can download lesson number one. That is what we are going to be covering today. And in addition to the lesson, we also have a free offer that you'll be able to download. And I'm going to grab it right here. I put one out before the program. It's one of Amazing Facts' prophecy magazines. It's called The Day of the Lord. And we have made available this magazine for download at the Prophecy Odyssey website. There's several ways you can do it. You can go to the website, prophecyodyssey.com. You can also text the word Jesus24 to the number 40544. Probably see that number on your screen. And you'll receive a digital download of this magazine. For those of you who are here in person, we'll make sure that we have these for you as you leave this evening. So take the magazine, read it. You want to share it with somebody else, you will be blessed. And it goes along with our subject that we're going to be studying this evening. Also, we want to let you know that this is being translated into many languages. For our friends who are watching, if you'd like to get this in one of 17 languages the last time I checked, all of that information is available once again at the Prophecy Odyssey website. So just go to Prophecy Odyssey and you'll be able to select the language that you'd like to watch. We are trying something new with the language translations. We're actually using AI for a good reason. We're going to try AI to translate these programs, as I said, into 17 languages. So you can go back home about an hour after the program is finished. These languages should be available. You can watch Pastor Doug preach in Mandarin or Hindi or Swahili or one of 17 languages, actually in his own voice. So we are trying some different things. So friends, take advantage of that. If you've got friends who speak different languages, direct them to the Prophecy Odyssey website, and they will be able to get more information about that. Well, again, we are so excited about these meetings. This is the beginning of an in-depth Bible prophecy seminar, and we are so glad that you are here. Well, we have a theme song that we are going to be singing each night. I think those of you here, you've gone through it one time. For those who are watching, we want you to participate in our theme song. So you'll see the words on your screen and sing along. By the end of the program, you'll have the words down as well as the tune for our theme song. For those of you who are here, let's stand and we're all going to sing together our theme song for this prophecy seminar.
God always thinks about us for good and hope and peace, to bring us to a future home where time will never cease. He wants for us to know Him, to call upon His name. He gave His one and only Son to cleanse our guilt and shame. His ears are ever waiting, listening for our plea. His Spirit to renew our lives and truth to set us free. His kingdom and His righteousness must be our only goal, to seek for God with all our hearts and search with all our soul. To seek for God with all our hearts and search with all our souls.
Amen. Now, just before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say hello. We're going to have prayer in just a moment. But before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and introduce yourself, welcome yourself, and then you may be seated.
All right. And again, welcome. Hope those of you at home, you are smiling at the people around you. Friends, you may be, well, stay standing because we're going to pray. So before you're seated, we're going to pray. We are so grateful that Dr. Alonzo Smith is with us this evening, and he is going to lead us in prayer. Let's bow our heads.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your great love towards us. We thank You for these meetings, and we know that Your Holy Spirit will work among Your children. Thank you for those who are here, and we ask that you would bring those who are still traveling safely. In a special way, we put your manservant into your hands, Pastor Doug, that as he opens up your words, heart will understand and see how loving you are. These are challenging days in which we're living, but we are thankful that we have your Holy Spirit to guide us along. So, Lord, bless us as we listen to these powerful messages night after night. May they transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor. You know, there's quite a team of people behind the scenes that we have been working with to make this happen, and we want to thank the churches that have been involved in bringing you this meeting. We also want to thank those who are broadcasting this meeting. I know we have Hope International, 3ABN, we have Good News TV, Amazing Facts TV, and of course this is being broadcast on the internet around the world, so we thank you for the great partnership. And from night to night, you will hear different pastors. Many of them are local pastors in the area that we have been working with, and they'll be having our prayer. Well, it is time for your Bible questions. One of the exciting parts of studying the Word of God is not only just presenting the Word, but we like to answer questions. Pastor Doug Batchelor has a very popular radio program. It's actually become a TV program now called Bible Answers Live, and we broadcast on Sunday evenings, Pacific time. We get a lot of calls from New York City, so we know people out here are listening, and they ask their Bible questions, and so we're going to take some of your Bible questions. This is the way we're going to do it, and for those of you who are watching, you can also participate. They are going to put a QR code up on the screen right now, and if you have a Bible question, what you'll be doing is you'll pull out your phone and you'll scan that QR code. And all you'll have to do, just scan the QR code. You don't have to sign in. There's no need for a password or anything like that. You can just type in your Bible question right there. And we want to get as many Bible questions as we can. We've got a certain amount of time allotted for Bible questions. We're going to try and answer as many of these Bible questions as possible. So take advantage of that. Those of you who are watching at home, please send us your Bible questions. Well, at this time, I would like to introduce my boss, Pastor Doug Batchelor, president of Amazing Facts. Now, a few things maybe that you didn't know about Pastor Doug. He loves the Word. He loves preaching and teaching and sharing the words. And he's not limited to just working in North America. He has visited more than 60 countries proclaiming the everlasting gospel in some rather amazing places. Earlier this year, he traveled to, he was in Indonesia, in Pakistan, and in India, going all over the world preaching the everlasting gospel. So we are so glad that he is going to be leading us in our study of God's Word this evening. And his wife, Karen, is going to be joining him for the Bible Q&A. So let's give Pastor Doug and Karen a warm welcome and bring them onto stage for Bible questions.
Wow. Good evening, everybody. It is so good to be back with you in New York City.
Amen.
And I'm so glad Karen can be here with me. And you may not know that 25 years ago, we were here doing a program called Millennium of Prophecy in 1999. So this is something of an anniversary. I see a few people that were actually there. John was with us there. Kelly was with us there. A few of our crew. Mrs. Batchelor. And so this is sort of like a reunion. But we're so glad that you can be here. We're going to get into Bible questions in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to be blessed with some special music. And so I know you'll appreciate this.
So our singers will be singing Redemption Draweth Nigh.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told, how Jesus would come again someday.
Jesus will come again.
There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills the land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again.
And that is the purpose of Bible prophecy. It's redemption.
Amen.
It's not just to tickle our curiosity. Well, friends, welcome to Prophecy Odyssey. We want to welcome all of those who are here in our live New York City audience. We know you brave traffic and subways and a lot of interesting things being here, and we really appreciate it. And those who are watching on TV, online, 3ABN, our friends on Hope Channel International, the Good News Network, Roku, YouTube, these messages are being broadcast around the world right now. And we want to thank you for allowing us to make New York City the host for this event.
Amen.
Now, one of the favorite parts of each program is going to be the beginning, where we take your Bible questions. And we're not going to shy away from any Bible question, because we want to understand what the Bible teaches, and in particular regarding prophecy. And so I think we're going to put that signal back up on the screen again, that QR code. You might want to get your phone out, those who are watching at home. If you want to send in a Bible question, you'll see it. It'll be on the screen. Then you can, I think it's coming, you can take a picture of that, and then you can send us your Bible questions. But tonight, first program, we've got a few questions that came in advance we'll deal with. A lot of the questions tonight are going to be answering questions about what we're doing.
So let us begin. So tell us, what is this Prophecy Odyssey program?
Prophecy Odyssey is a special series where we are going to be covering the major themes of Bible prophecy, principally from the book of Revelation, but also Daniel, because they are companion books. And for those who like the hot subjects, we are going to talk about things like the millennium, the tribulation, the second coming is our presentation tonight, signs of the second coming. We're going to talk about angels, good ones, bad ones. We're going to be talking about the rapture, the beast. All of these central subjects we're going to be talking about and inviting your questions on that. Now, you realize Revelation has 404 verses in it. Of those 404 verses, 278 of those verses are found other places in the Bible. So you're going to find that as we study the book of Revelation, you can't really do it without going back. Revelation's the last book in the Bible. Some of your Bibles say the Apocalypse, but you can't really study it without going back and looking at the other books in the Bible, because that's the key to unlock it. So we've got, just put on your seatbelt, friends. You're going to learn things I promise will change your life.
Amen. All right, can you tell us how often are these meetings?
Yeah, this is the first in a series of 15 presentations. Now, I know when people come opening night, they go, oh, I thought this was one night. There's no way that you can cover the themes, the principal themes of Bible prophecy in one night. It just will leave everything scrambled. We have been doing this for years. Karen and I have been traveling together for over 30 years doing these seminars. I counted yesterday 61 countries.
Wow.
And it takes some time to unfold it. We're going to be meeting every night, the same time, 7 o'clock here in New York City through 8:30, except Mondays. We give you a night off for good behavior. But you must not forget us. And for those of you who are watching, you'll be on that schedule. Some will be able to download the archives in your languages. But please do not miss these meetings. I want to make you a promise. I promise you, this is going to change your life for the better.
Amen.
You know, as we walk the streets of New York City coming from the hotel here, and we see the millions of people that are going to and fro, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, where are they going? But I don't mean, are they going to the subway or are they going home? I mean, where are they really going? Mm-hmm. Where are they going for eternity? Amen. And we're going to be talking about the most important thing, which is life, this life, abundant life, and eternal life. So make this a priority in the next few days, and I promise you'll never regret it. If you do, you get your money back.
That's right. All right, please explain the free study notes and lessons.
Yeah, in order for us to cover these subjects, we want to make it easy for everyone to understand, to find the verses in the Bible. I'm going to be talking fast each night. In fact, I've got to pace myself because they told me that the artificial intelligence that's translating, if I go too fast, it has a problem. But the presentations each night, we're covering so much material. We will give you a study guide that covers the principal themes of each night's presentation. They're free. Those watching online, you can download them. They'll be available in many different languages. You know, if you hear something, you might remember 10%, or if you read something, maybe 20%. If you hear it and read it, 30%. If you hear it, read it, and see it, 40%. If you hear it, read it, see it, and then you share it with somebody else, you're likely to remember about 80%. And so when the program's over, you will have these study guides. I encourage you to fill out the answers when you get home. Most of you have a Bible you can download for free online. Fill them out, and then you can share these things with your friends. All the answers are going to be available. So you'll have a complete set of 15 studies dealing with the Prophecy Odyssey subjects that we just talked about.
So tell us, for those of you who don't know who you are, tell us about yourself and who you are. It's written down. He wrote it, so I'm just reading what he wrote.
Well, yeah, I just realized
that. I ad-libbed a bit, but that's okay.
It's like the people at the Hollywood cocktail party. You know, this young actress just kept talking about herself and talking about herself, and then she stopped and said, oh, I'm sorry, we've just been talking about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me? The reason I mention that is I think it helps to have some background. I lived in New York City, came when I was 6 years old, went to school on the East Side, the West Side, New York Military Academy. So I grew up in the city, Jewish mother, Baptist father, both pretty much atheists. I grew up very lost and confused, got in trouble like a lot of young people. My father is a multimillionaire. My mother was an actress, film critic, wrote for Broadway, wrote songs for Elvis, so it was an unusual upbringing. I ran away at 15 years old. By 17, I was living in a cave up in these desert mountains by myself, trying to find the purpose of life. I was going through the drugs and the American Indian religions and yoga and Buddhism. And someone had left a Bible in the cave that I lived in. I thought, I'm going to read the Bible so I can argue with Christians. I had a pretty low opinion of Christians. And in reading the Bible, my life was transformed. That's been 45 years ago.
Amen.
And from that day to this day, I've never turned back.
Amen.
So what I'm telling you about, happiness doesn't come from money. I grew up, family all had money. Happiness doesn't come from fame. Happiness comes from knowing where you came from, what you're doing here, and where you're going.
Amen.
Prophecy will supply those answers.
All right. All right, here's a question. Does the current conflict in Israel have anything to do with Bible prophecy?
Ooh. Well, yes, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, just even on a very obvious level. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And with everything happening in the world today, with a crisis in the Middle East looking like it is a powder keg that could explode right now into a whole regional problem, as well as what's going on in Europe, Ukraine, and Russia, some are wondering if we're on the cusp of World War III. And I'm not saying that to frighten you. Those are not my words.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have anything to do with prophecy? Absolutely. There's a lot in prophecy about Israel. We'll be talking more about that. I would not say that this particular conflict in Israel, because you realize there's been quite a few wars that have been fought with Israel through history. But we'll talk about that. Jesus actually mentions some of that in our study tonight.
How can we distinguish between literal and symbolic prophecies in Revelation and apply them to current events accurately?
Yeah, very important question. There's obviously symbols in Revelation, but the meaning of the symbols are given if you search. So whenever a symbol is given in one place, you look somewhere else, you see what it represents. Revelation talks about, behold, there was a lamb that was slain in chapter 4. And it tells us that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Obvious, the lamb that was slain is Jesus. Revelation has a symbol of a dragon and a serpent. And you go, what does that mean? It says in the same chapter, that old dragon, that serpent, the devil and Satan. So who's the dragon? The devil. It's not as hard as some people think to understand what the symbols mean. We're going to be talking about some of the symbols and the language and the prophecies in our studies. You're going to be surprised how easy it becomes to understand and interpret these things when you've got the code book in the Bible to explain them.
How can we ensure that the interpretation of end-time prophecies doesn't foster fear or division, but instead promotes faith, unity, and hope in Christ's return?
Yeah, the principal purpose of prophecy is redemptive.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, when these things come to pass, then you will know that I am He. God didn't give us all prophecy so that we could look ahead and know what's coming. He gave us some prophecy so when it happens, we'll say, wow, God's word can be trusted. He knew exactly what was coming. That means what He says about salvation, I can also trust that He can save me. So prophecy is not just to, you know, frighten us. God does tell us there are some frightening things in the future, but He tells us that we don't need to be afraid if we put our lives in His hands.
Amen.
If you're living with plans on being lost, I hope you're not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
We don't want you to be comfortable on your way to destruction. We want this meeting to be redemptive, to save.
All right, just real quick, how do we turn in our Bible questions?
Yeah, you can go online to send in your Bible questions. There's a place if you go to prophecyodyssey.com, and I think they're going to fix the QR code where it's going to, there it is, up on the screen. Get your cameras out. They'll put that there for a second. Send us your questions. We'll cover as many as we can each evening.
And if you have prayer requests, you can send them there too.
Go to the website. There's a place, so drop down. It'll say, send your prayer requests. We will pray for you.
We are so thankful to have with us Kelly Maurer and Pastor John Lomakang, who were with us back at Net 99. And we have a new singer that is joining our musical team, Marguerite Samuel. And they will be singing What a Day That Will Be.
Amen.
There is coming a day light shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no sorrow then, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness and no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Marguerite and John and Kelly on the piano. What a beautiful song. What a day that'll be. Well, our study this evening, you probably have your lessons. Those are watching online. You can download it from the Prophecy Odyssey website. It's called Signs of Christ's Return. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days, the devil's deceptions are going to be so well crafted that he's going to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. So we need to know what the Bible says, especially as it relates to the second coming of Christ. How soon is Jesus going to come? What are the signs of the soon coming of Christ? What are some of the deceptions of the last days concerning the second coming of Christ? These are the subjects that we're going to be looking at today. It's a very important study. You know, the devil knows that if he can deceive people concerning the manner of Christ's coming, they'll be looking the wrong way. When Jesus actually does come, they won't be ready for the coming of Christ. So understanding this is important, the signs of the coming of Christ.
Welcome, friends. We are so thankful that you have joined us for the Prophecy Odyssey program. And as I mentioned, I hope that you are buckled up because we are in for an action-packed presentation. And again, I want to welcome those who are watching us on television or watching online. We've got viewers that are tuning in from around the world. My name is Pastor Doug Batchelor, and it's been my privilege to be talking about my favorite theme, the Word of God and Bible prophecy, for about 45 years now. And I'm just so thankful to be back in the town where I grew up, in New York City. And thank you so much, each of you, for coming. Tonight's presentation is among the most important. We're dealing with signs of Christ's return. And I want to remind our friends that the lessons that we're going to be covering are available online, and you can simply go to the Prophecy Odyssey website. That's prophecyodyssey.com. And for those that are here, you folks, you get a free copy. We're going to be giving you the answers to the lessons, and you can fill them out. And when you're done, you'll have a beautiful binder that's going to have all of these studies, and you could be sharing the good news with your friends and your family. Well, we've got a lot to cover, and so we're going to get right into our presentation. I use sort of a question-answer method. Jesus used that to teach, and so we're going to go into question number one of our study tonight on signs of Christ's return. And something happened in 1881 in Scotland. Off the coast, in the town of Eyemouth, they had endured a terrible storm. And because of that storm, nobody could go fishing for several days. And they were all tied up in the docks, in the shore. Now, I just want to tell our tech people. There we go. Okay, we're working now. Everybody was tied up in the shore, and they were not able to go out and to go fishing. Well, that's their main livelihood. And so finally there was a break in the storm, October 14, and this whole harbor full of fishing boats, all the fishermen went out and they began to ready to go out and to go catch and try to make some money again and go out fishing. But the harbor master, who used to watch the weather instruments, he hoisted the storm flag and told people, do not go out. There is the barometric pressure is dropping. It looks like there's still a severe storm that's out there. But the fishermen, they saw their buddies were all going, and one of them said, I'm going. Clear day, calm weather, I got to catch some fish. And they said, well, if he's going, I'm going. And most of the fishermen went out that day. They ignored the warning signs of the instruments. As a result of that, they didn't know that they were in the eye of a hurricane. And a terrible storm swept through the North Sea at that time, and almost 190 fishermen were lost as a result of that. They still call it Black Friday in Eyemouth. All these families, they lost their fathers and their husbands and their brothers because they did not listen to the warning signs. In God's Word, the Lord gives us warning signs about what is coming. Jesus said that His coming would be something like as it was in the days of Noah. You know, God told Noah, there's a storm coming. And Noah told the people. And Noah prepared. And a lot of people said, you know, I think Noah's right. The world's pretty wicked. But they looked and they didn't see any rain. And even though they saw the signs, sky go black with all these birds that came to the ark. And all then the animals came, the clean and the unclean. And they all, and they thought, but there's no rain. And they waited until Noah and everybody had entered the ark. And then the rain started after the door was shut and it was too late. Jesus said, that's what it will be like in the day when the Son of Man comes. God gives us prophecy to save. Noah was a prophet and he wanted people to be saved by that. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, you look at Bible history, whenever God is getting ready to do anything significant, like the flood in the days of Noah, or when he was about to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt, he sent a prophet. What was his name? Moses. And before the Babylonian captivity, there was Isaiah and Jeremiah. Before Jesus' first coming, who was that great messenger that came? John the Baptist. So whenever you've got these critical events in history, God says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, meaning nothing of great significance, but he will send a prophet to prepare, to warn, to woo, to win people. Do you think that God would send prophecies to help us get ready for the second coming and the end of the world? Well, he certainly has. We're going to be talking about those tonight. But, you know, we always think it's interesting when we do a seminar like this to take a little time and just go out on the street and get some input from what we call the man on the street. What do people think out there about will the world end and how might it end? So we're going to go to the screen and listen to some of these comments that came in.
I believe the world will end. I mean, it's a reality. If we look at science as a cause, I mean, eventually it will run its course as a planet. When? Probably significant time from now. I don't think the world's going to end tomorrow.
I'm sure one day it will. I don't know exactly when the Earth will end. I mean, it is a really random question, but I would say maybe a couple million years.
Absolutely, it's coming soon. Luke 21, verse 10 through 19.
I don't think the world is going to end, but... I mean, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I think the world is going to end one day. Yeah. You know, is it that we're going to go to hell or we're going to go to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven, so...
What would bring this world to an end? The hatred.
Nuclear.
Pollution.
Maybe... Satan? I don't know.
I'm going to go with climate change.
Probably just war, politics, something like that. People arguing and causing, like, nuclear destruction.
It's coming back, yes, of course. As every Christian.
No.
No.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No.
Because I believe Jesus is coming back and all that stuff. But then there's different people with different thoughts. You know, like, there's some people that said the rapture already happened already. And there's people that say there's no rapture in the Bible, but it's a lot.
I think you'll agree with me that the answers are sort of all over the map. Amen? So, how do we know the truth? Do we just take a camera on the street to learn the truth, or do we go to the Word of God? Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will not pass away. I want to make you a promise. In this seminar, what I'm going to share with you is from the Bible. We're going to be giving you scripture. I don't want you to believe what I say. I want you to believe what the Bible says. And I'll be sharing with you what the Bible says on these very important issues. So you check it out. By the way, it's the best-selling book in the world. And it stood the test of time. It began to be written about 3,500 years ago by 40 authors on three continents. Some were shepherds, kings, scribes, fishermen, all different backgrounds. And yet it has stood the test of time. There's a reason. It is an inspired book. So, all right, question number one in our study. How positive was Jesus that he was going to come again? What does the Bible say? Christ said in John 14, I hope you've memorized this promise. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will, what's it say? I will come again. He didn't say I might. He said, I will come again. Now keep in mind, God told Adam and Eve, a Savior is going to come, and all the patriarchs knew the Messiah would come the first time as a lamb, he'd come the next time as a lion, and it took a while for him to come as a lamb, but he came. And Jesus said, I'm coming back now as a king. I'm going to come as a conquering king, as a lion next time. There are 1,800 passages in the Bible that talk about the second coming of Jesus. Some people say, why do you focus on prophecy? Well, Jesus did. The Bible does. And you can find 318 of those passages in the New Testament. And all the way from the time of Enoch before the flood, Enoch said, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. And who knows, what are the last words in the Bible? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So is the coming of Christ a biblical theme? Amen. Then we need to talk about what the Lord talks about, right? All right, another verse, Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man, what's it say? Will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he'll reward each one according to his works. The Lord made it very clear, he will come. Next question. What can we know about the time of Christ's return? Now, here's where a lot of people have gotten in trouble. What does the Bible say about this? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 through 36, but of that day and hour, you'll notice on our slides that we've got the answer with a highlighted color and kind of a bluish color. Now, girls know exactly what that color is. For man, we only know 16 colors like the old Windows 3.11. It's blue, some kind of blue color. But you'll see the answers are there. You can say them with me. It says, but of that day and hour, what? No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now some are saying, you mean Jesus didn't know? Well, no, when he was on the earth, he didn't have all knowledge swimming around in his head as a little baby and through his earthly life. But he certainly knows now. I can't imagine that God the Father and the Son are sitting up there in heaven and Jesus is saying, so when am I supposed to come back? And I say, you God said, I got the envelope here, but I can't show it to you yet. Of course he knows now. On earth, Christ laid aside a lot of his knowledge. Furthermore, Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. But you notice what he said? He's coming, but it's going to surprise a lot of people. So when someone said, I've calculated the date, how many of you have heard of a pastor or ministry that picked a date for the second coming of the rapture? Do you realize so far they've all been wrong? You know why the devil does that? Do you all know the story about the boy that called wolf? The devil wants a lot of ministries and people out there setting dates so when they get all excited and then Jesus doesn't come, they jettison their faith completely. And then when someone else says, there are signs of his coming, they say, oh, I used to believe that. And it makes people lose faith in the Word of God. Jesus said, don't set dates. No man knows the day or the hour. Only God knows that. But what can we know about the second coming? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 33, so you also, when you see these things, know that it is what? It's near, even at the door. So can we know when it's at the door and when it's near, according to Jesus? Yes. Well, friends, I tell you, it is at the door. It is near. We're going to go through some of the reasons from the Bible that we believe that now. Only God knows the exact timing and date. I'd stay away from anybody that says that they have found the date or they can calculate it. Question three, what signs does Jesus give us to indicate that his coming is near? Now, first we're going to talk in this lesson. We've divided this lesson in two parts. We're talking about signs of the nearness of Jesus' coming, and then we're going to be talking about how he's coming so we're not deceived because Satan's going to impersonate that. What are some of the signs? For one thing, tell you what, let's go to the Bible. I want to just read a passage to you from the Bible, and you can look this up. Make a note if you want. I'm going to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus talks about the second coming. And just to give you the background, the disciples are showing Jesus the beautiful stones in the renovated temple of Herod the Great. He's renovated their national treasure, the sanctuary. And Karen and I and many of our team have been there, and we've been down below the level, and we've seen some of the stones. They got one stone there that weighs more than a fully loaded 747. And you think, how did they perfectly cut? And even back then, the disciples are saying, they marveled at the stones. And you know, Jesus shocked them. He said, do you not see all these things? I say unto you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And the disciples were thunderstruck. And they said, Lord, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? So they asked him several questions. All of them were asking him questions. He then coalesced his answer into one discourse. You'll find that discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21. The signs that Jesus gives so we can know when his coming is near. So Christ told his disciples, first thing, verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4. Take heed that nobody deceives you. What did Jesus warn about his second coming? First thing, there'll be a lot of deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. We have that today. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence, that's plagues, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of labor pains. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and betray one another. Many will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and deceive many. That's why we do these seminars, so people can read the Bible for themselves and not be deceived. Because let's face it, there's a lot of religious voices out there. They're not all telling the truth. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he that endures to the end, the same will be saved, is the promise. So that's just the beginning of what Jesus said, and we're going to go into that in some detail now. Nation will rise against nation. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Well, let's talk a little bit about earthquakes. National Geophysics Data Center. The earthquakes between 1940 and 2020 have gone up 4.9 times. And that's even accounting for better equipment. It's not just because they've got better seismic equipment. There are more problems, more earthquakes that are taking place, greater magnitude. You realize the tsunami that they had that affected Indonesia was an earthquake. The earthquake in Haiti, thousands have died in the last few years. It seems like they're mounting. Natural disasters, he tells us that that will increase. He said that, here's actually a report, according to BBC, the number of weather-related disasters has increased by a factor of 5 over 50 years. Now, this is not a religious report. This is a report of an insurance company based in Munich, and they want to know how to insure, and they look at the natural disasters because the more disasters, the more money they lose, and they see a trend. It's not a religious organization. Have you noticed the trend is going up for both geophysical, meteorological, hydrological, and climatological catastrophes are increasing. And with more people in the world are affected by those. Jesus said there'll be plagues, pestilence, same word. Does anyone remember something that happened between like 2019 and 2023? A global plague. And it wasn't the most deadly. You go back to 1918, somewhere between 30 and 50 million people died from the Spanish flu. And so, and you know, of course, the leaders in that field are saying there could be something worse on the horizon. Jesus said these things will accelerate in the last days. And thousands of people died from the Ebola outbreak in 2011. And we know COVID kind of paralyzed the world for a while. Jesus gives us another sign of the last days. He said it will be as it was in the days of Noah, that because of the hardness of people's hearts, their love will grow cold and there's more violence. Now, I know you are good people, but not everybody in New York City is as good as you are. And Karen and I were just watching the news last night, and some of you saw where just some random man went up and clobbered an old woman that he didn't know, knocked her to the street and walked away. That's called crazy violence. Jesus said that would be one of the signs as it was in the days of Noah. What does it say about the days of Noah? You can read there in Genesis, the earth was corrupt before God and violence. Now, let me tell you something, just it's kind of a personal pet peeve of mine. Everybody's trying to figure out why is there so much violence? And I'm not saying that the multiplication of guns and more deadly guns is not a factor, but I think it's something even bigger. If you have a society that is entertained by violence, if you have a generation of young people that grow up playing games that involve shooting digital characters, they soon lose the separation between fiction and reality. The value of human life is diminished. If we're all being entertained by watching bloodshed that gets worse and worse with every new program in order to keep the audience, and we wonder, why is violence increasing? Well, maybe it's because people are feeding on it and it's affecting our natures. I appreciate more than one amen on that, because I just told you the truth. If we spend all of our time, you become like what you behold. If you have a culture around the world, and whatever we produce in America is imported internationally, and if we are importing violence internationally, wonder, why is violence increasing? Men's hearts are growing cold. We need the gospel, friends. Amen. Immorality increasing. Not only in the breakdown of marriage, but even the definition of marriage. Friends, I told you, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Do you want me to do that? Yes. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Jesus said, likewise as it was also in the days of Lot, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man has appeared. Do you know that there are about 200,000 Americans that are classified as porn addicts? Here, I've got some statistics here. I can't remember them all, but I have some notes I jotted down in the front of my Bible to share with you on these statistics. 40 million American people, there's only 340 million total, 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites. The pornography industry earns $97 billion worldwide every year. That's more than Microsoft, Google, Oracle, and the top 10 tech companies combined. 35% of all internet downloads, when you wonder why your internet is slow, 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. Think about the bandwidth that would increase. 34% of internet users have experienced unwanted exposure, and the earliest happens at 8 years of age. 8 to 11 is when it's first exposed. One third of porn viewers are women, and it plays a significant role in all divorces. I'm a pastor, and unfortunately we have to do marriage counseling, and I can testify that that's true. It is an epidemic, and Jesus said, you know, the problems in Sodom and Gomorrah were sexual immorality on all scales. But I think that we agree. Jesus said, these are not my words, so I hope you don't see this as hate speech. Jesus said, from the beginning, God made them male and female. Amen. He didn't give us 20 options. Amen. I still believe Jesus. I'm sorry. You have to take that up with him. Don't get mad at me. Right. Mushrooming population around the world. By the year 2050, the Earth's population is going to be 9.5 billion. I've got another note that I want to read you. This is just fantastic when you think about it, because this is another reason I think it just cannot go on forever. Listen to this. It took all of human history until about 1800 to get the first billion people. That's, you know, roughly 5,000 years of Bible history to get the first billion people. Then it only took 130 years back in 1930 to get the second billion. The third billion took 30 years. I remember when there were 3 billion people in the world today. Not today. I remember it. The fourth billion took 15 years. The fifth billion, 13 years. Now there are over 8 billion people in the world. And during that same time that humanity is developing and sprawling across the world and using incredible amounts of resources. And I want to remind you, friends, I've traveled all over the world just this year. Karen and I have been India, Pakistan, Dubai, Indonesia, China. I actually had the privilege of preaching in China. We were in Panama, Guatemala, Russia, Australia. We've been Fiji, New Guinea. We've been all over the world. And I see what's happened. I'm also a pilot, so I fly over the country. And I see places I used to fly that were forests. It's sprawl now. And you wonder, how long can that go on? During this same time, humanity has wiped out, since 1970, 60% of the animal population in the world. Now, there's more cows than there ever have been. There's probably more pigs and chickens than there ever have been, because what would we do without McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? But the other wildlife, you know, I read history books. When Lewis and Clark crossed North America, it took a day and a half. They had to wait for a buffalo herd to cross a river. They had to wait a day and a half, millions of them. Now, if you see a buffalo, you go, oh, look, a buffalo. The sky used to be black with carrier pigeons. They're all gone. The world cannot go on. You know what Jesus said? Except those days be shortened. Speaking of the last days, no flesh would be saved. The word flesh there means that nothing's going to survive unless he comes, because there'll be nothing to come for. Eventually, man will self-destruct. So we've got the diminishing resources. The UN released its Global Resource Outlook for 2024. We are consuming resources much faster than the Earth can sustainably provide them. Some things can't be reprovided. We're not making new oil. By 2050, it will require three Earths to meet the world's demand. Political instability and nuclear weapons is something just to think about. You realize that man has never made a weapon he did not use. And instead of decommissioning all the nuclear weapons, the U.S. and Russia principally have the largest number, but of course, India, Pakistan, Israel, Europe, they're all over the world. North Korea's got them, China's got them. they haven't stopped making them because they say it's a deterrent. But knowing human nature, and some people get extreme, and some people out of vengeance, eventually through accident, folly, or madness, somebody is going to set something off if Jesus doesn't come. Now, I'm not trying to frighten you. Yeah, I am a little bit, I guess. Just because I want you to know Jesus has to come or we're going to destroy ourselves eventually. The other thing I think is very interesting is thinking successful people around the world, how do they view the future? I just read this this year. Mark Zuckerberg, of course, who's the founder and principal owner of Facebook and Meta, he's bought a huge ranch in Kauai, a beautiful island in Hawaii, and he's building a 5,000-square-foot bunker under his ranch on an island. Why would you build a bunker under a ranch on a volcano? But they're supplying it with everything, so it's self-sufficient, it's independent, off the grid, but he's not alone. You can go down the line and look at millionaires like Jeff Bezos and Peter Thiel and the others. They are buying property in New Zealand and remote places, and they're building doomsday bunkers. Now, this is not something Pastor Doug is making up. Here's a headline. We just captured the screen from CNN. Super rich building doomsday bunkers. And this is a picture of decommissioned missile silos. I think it's North Dakota. There's hundreds of them. And they're now, because they're well fortified, they're in the middle of nowhere. They're being sold to very wealthy people who are outfitting them. They got great big steel doors. They're outfitting them so that a person can survive earthquake, social unrest, maybe a small asteroid, nuclear war. They're self-contained, air purification. They're very clever. I mean, some of them are very nice. Some of them, they got missile silos that are 20 stories tall. You've heard of skyscrapers, of course, in New York City. They're not skyscrapers, they're earth scrapers. They go down. And they're building apartments down. And they're completely independent. And they're now private contractors are building this. They have swimming pools. And they've got the bedrooms and all the food and generators. And it's amazing, the money. Now, why would billionaires do that? You think maybe they're billionaires because they're smart. Some of them got lucky. They're looking at conditions in the world and they're saying, you know, we need a plan B. For years, I think National Geographic had a program called Doomsday Preppers. And they always made fun of kind of these, you know, folks out there in the country that were walking around with their tinfoil hats and their guns and talking about the end of the world. But it's not those people now, friends. It's thinking people that realize that we're on the cusp of what could be catastrophic. And they're wondering, how can we save ourselves? Well, friends, this meeting is going to tell you how you can be saved. Amen. And it's not going to be a doomsday bunker. It is going to be a shelter. And the Lord is our shelter. Amen. He is the way that we are going to survive. He is a mighty rock in a weary land. Amen? Amen. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh unto you. That's Psalm 91. Because you've made the Most High your habitation, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. God can protect you through all of this. Now, not only are they looking for bunkers and going down in the ground, but these billionaires are also looking at going up in the sky. Boeing, you know, a contractor, their space program is having problems right now, so they're turning to private companies. And you got people like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, with their space companies. And you ask them, why are you building space companies? If you ask Elon Musk, he says, the future of our world's looking pretty bleak. He said, my goal is to die on Mars. And they're saying, we're looking for colonization that is out of this world or on a space station because they're afraid for what the future of the world might be. And you've got SpaceX and Blue or Origin and all the different companies. And frankly, I'd love to take a trip up there. That would be rather interesting. Here are some of the other reasons I think Jesus is coming soon that get me so excited. Increase in knowledge. Do you know the Bible foretold that? You read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the prophet there said, but you, O Daniel, the angel speaking to Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. You notice he didn't say wisdom will increase because people aren't much wiser. knowledge, like technology, knowledge has increased. If I took my smartphone and I showed it to the Apostle Peter, I said, Peter, come here, I want to show you something. I know you're in Israel, Paul's in Rome right now, would you like to talk to him? That would have blown him away, just the telephone. So you want to look at him while you talk to him? Do you want to upload a recipe to him? Maybe you'd like to do a Zoom call with the whole church. Would you like to look at Google Maps and see how to get there the quickest? They would think you're a witch, right? You know, my grandfather was born in New York City. Matter of fact, he was born in Harlem. It was a lot of Jewish people. My mother's side's all Jewish. And he was born by candlelight. My grandfather, they were riding horses. I guess he still have some horses left, right? But they were riding horses around New York City. Look at how the world has changed in one lifetime. He said, many will run to and fro. Knowledge will increase. People are running to and fro now more than they ever had. You just consider the increase in knowledge. I mean, just look at what's happened in the past century with everything from the automobile, the airplane, the radio, penicillin, a moon landing, space stations. Technology's exploding exponentially now. They say that all of the knowledge of man, we've learned more in the last 10 years than all of the knowledge, all the history of man combined. And now with AI, and it's a double-edged sword like the internet, like all communications, it can be used for good or evil. But it's pretty scary what it'll do. Global evangelization. Now this gets me really excited. Jesus said one of the signs before he comes back, Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. Just think about what's happening right here in New York City. And, you know, we've got a modest crowd compared with what's happening around the world. There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that are participating right now. Or they will tomorrow because of the time change. Amen. And wherever we go in the world now, it's amazing. I go to the Middle East and people live in a tent. And there's a satellite dish coming up out of the tent. And goats are going in and out of the front door, but they got a satellite TV. It's the truth. Karen and I were in New Guinea, and we're out in the jungle of New Guinea. We took our film crew. We said, we want to get like, you know, we get way out in the hills and get a typical, you know, beautiful native hut with a garden. And we finally found this person, and through a translator, we said, will they mind if we come and do a little videotape? And they talked to him in pidgin English, and they said, no, they're happy to have you come out. And so Karen and I and our crew, we got out of the car, walk over, and the lady of the house, she looked at me and her mouth fell. She looked like she saw a ghost. She began to jabber really quick in pidgin, and she looked terrified. And the translator came over and said, she watches your programs every week. She never dreamed you'd be in her country. She never dreamed you'd be in her front yard. And we gave her a big hug. It was such a neat experience. But it's like the gospel's going all over the world in amazing facts. You know, we're one ministry. There's other Christians doing it. Jesus said, the gospel will go and then the end will come. He didn't say it might come. He didn't say everyone would believe. He said it will go as a witness so they have an opportunity. All the stuff that's happening in New York City tonight, you folks decided to come and to hear what really matters in life. How to live forever and what is the purpose of life. Thank you for coming. This gospel will be preached in all the world. It's happening now. Today, almost with instant global internet, satellite communication, smartphones, rapid international travel, the fulfillment of this prophecy is within reach in this generation, friends. Number four, what solemn warning does Jesus give about his second coming? For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will what? Deceive. We want to avoid being deceived. He said, Jesus says, Matthew 24, 24, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Very convincing signs and wonders. He said, I'm telling you in advance. Jesus said, I'm prophesying. I'm telling you. Therefore, if they say, look, he's in the desert, that might be the Middle East, do not go out. Look, he's in inner rooms. Do not believe it. Because when Christ comes, says, it's like lightning, everyone's going to know, right? I don't know if you've ever met a false Christ. Probably if you live in the city, you've met several. When I was living in the mountains up in a cave, I lived like a hermit for about a year and a half. And one day into my cave yard, this hiker came. And guy was about 6 feet tall, handsome man, shoulder length, auburn hair, beard, hazel eyes. There's no one up there but me. He sat and he talked to me for a minute or two, and then he said, I'm Jesus. Well, at first I thought, I've got some Spanish friends named Jesus. Maybe he meant to say, I'm Jesus. And so I inquired a little more. He said, no, I am Jesus. And that kind of rattled me a little bit, because I just started reading the Bible, and then I thought, oh, I'm up here in the mountains with either Jesus or someone crazy. And I thought, what do I do? I thought, if it is Jesus, I don't want to hurt his feelings. So I was a little bit cautious in my answer. I said, now, if you're Jesus, didn't you say that when you come, it's in the clouds and everyone's going to see? And he said, well, yes, that's for most people, but I'm coming specially to prepare some other people. He knew his Bible. He had an answer for everything. But I knew something wasn't right, especially after he stayed with me for 3 days and ate all my food and didn't do any work. I knew Jesus wouldn't do that. And then I kicked him out. I had to evict Jesus. And then a few days later, I saw him down in Palm Springs, and he had found an apostle. This tall hippie was following him around going, this is Jesus. A few days later, I saw him again in town, and he was missing his front tooth. And I felt so, you know, I felt bad for him, but I felt good for me, because I thought, I know Jesus has all his teeth. I was sure then it wasn't Jesus at that point. But the false Christs in the last days are going to be very convincing. They're not going to be just deranged people. Number five, what will prevent the righteous from being deceived? What is the answer, friends? The Word of God, to the law and the testimony. That means the law and the prophets, the Word of God, the New and the Old Testament. To the law and the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We're going to be showing you from the word of God how you can separate the wheat from the tares, the true from the false. Amen? Amen? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we're talking now not just about Jesus coming soon. Now we're talking about how he's coming. Let me tell you why that's important. When Jesus came the first time as a baby, were his people, the nation of Israel, were they all ready and waiting with banners saying he's here? Did they have the Bible?
Yes.
They had their prophecies. Did they misunderstand the prophecies?
Yes.
And they were not ready for his first coming. Has the devil changed? Or is it possible he's going to do that again? And a lot of the church now is expecting Jesus to come in a way he didn't say he's coming, so they're not going to be ready. The devil's trying to deceive a whole generation of Bible-toting people, just like he did before, so they're not ready for the second coming. So we need to know something about how he's coming. The Bible says the Lord himself will descend. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He'll descend from heaven with a what? A shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Now, let me just make a little disclaimer. There are good, spirit-filled, heaven-bound Christians in many different churches. Y'all hearing me? I've had the privilege of preaching in Methodist churches, Nazarene churches, Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, Foursquare churches, and I've met lovely people in many different denominations, and I'm not wanting to say anything to offend anybody. Clearly, they disagree on different points. We all know that. I think we can love each other and disagree on some points. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. The idea that the rapture, I believe the rapture that we're going to be caught up, but I don't believe it's a secret. The idea of the secret rapture is a relatively new teaching. For 1900 years, the church believed in a glorious, visible, loud, obvious coming of the Lord. And you might be thinking, well, doesn't the Bible say he's coming quietly like a thief? It does. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let me quote it to you. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Some people stop right there. They say, yeah, he's going to come. The saints are raptured before the tribulation. Then there's 7 years of tribulation, and the church doesn't have to worry at all about the plagues or the tribulation because we've been caught up because he came like a thief. They don't keep reading the verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, how should we live in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward to the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens being on fire will be dissolved and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Yeah, he's coming as a thief, but when he comes as a thief, it's not going to be good down here. It says he'll come with a shout, with a trumpet. All Christians believe in the tribulation, and all people believe we're going to be caught up, but the big disagreement is on when. So let me address that quickly. Does Jesus say he that endures to the end will be saved? If the church is all caught up before the tribulation, why do we need to endure? We're the children of Israel. Now, by the way, the great tribulation is also the same as the seven last plagues in Revelation 15 and 16. That's the great tribulation. It says so in the Bible. The children of Israel, were they in Egypt when the 10 plagues fell on Egypt? God protected them through the last seven plagues. First three plagues they went through with the Egyptians. Last seven they were protected. Will he protect us through the seven last plagues in Revelation? Amen. He will. But they were in Egypt. And he protected them. That's why he said, no plague will come nigh your dwelling. Only with your eyes will you see to your right and your left the punishment of the wicked. Did God save Noah from the flood or through the flood? Through the flood. Did God save Job from his trials or through his trials? Did God save Joseph from his troubles or did he save him through his troubles? Doesn't the Bible say, Paul, Acts chapter 14, it is through tribulation we enter the kingdom of God? I'd love to believe we're all going to get raptured out before the tribulation. Friends, that'd be much easier. If we get to heaven and I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But I don't find it in the Bible. I think God tells us now we need to fortify our faith so that we can stand. Jesus says, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man when he comes. Now, let's find out what the Bible says. Fair enough? All right. Keep going. Jeremiah 25, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Our God shall come and shall, what's it say? Shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it will be very tempestuous all round about him. And I know that there's a lot of dear people that have been taught through Tim LaHaye, good man, wrote that Left Behind series, colorful. Very first thing he says is, this is a novel. He doesn't say it's scriptural. He said it's a novel. And pilots are flying along, and all of a sudden, co-pilot disappears. They're both pilots, and plane goes down because they were raptured and no one else was. Man goes to talk to his wife, and she's not there. Just her clothes are there in the bed and her curlers because she's been raptured, and he was left behind. But he gets a second chance. See, the devil is telling people, you'll get a second chance. No, friends, you got to get ready now for when Jesus comes. Number seven. Who will see Jesus when he returns? What does the Bible say? Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in a heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and how many eyes? Every eye will see him. People always say, how can, Pastor Doug, how can every eye see him on a round world? It doesn't say the same moment. It means that day that he comes. He'll sweep around the earth. Everybody will see him that day. Number eight, who will be with Jesus when he comes? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Now, what was the glory of one angel like? You know, the Bible says it's like lightning shining from the east to the west, Matthew 24, 27. When Jesus came, one or two angels rolled away the stone. I think one angel rolled away the stone, but the ladies looked inside. They saw two angels. and the glory of that one angel, the Roman guard, fell down as though they were dead. The Bible says in 1 Kings that an angel of the Lord struck 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. One angel. Angel of the Lord went through Egypt, destroyed the firstborn. One angel. When the Lord comes with all the angels, are you going to have to call your friend in the morning and say, did you catch that yesterday? Yeah, all those angels. Every angel in heaven. What will happen to the righteous at Jesus' coming? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. We read this, but notice the second part. And the dead in Christ will... There's a resurrection. The dead in Christ are rising when Christ comes. And if you read in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about when does that happen? At the coming of Christ, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound and we will come forth. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We have glorified bodies and we will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we are caught up. The Bible says, what direction do we go when he comes? We go up. That's the rapture. The rapture means to be caught up, means to be carried away with power. Number 10, what other physical evidence will accompany Jesus' return? You can see here, and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great, what? Earthquake, such as a mighty and a great earthquake has not occurred. This is going to be 55 on the Richter scale. It says every island disappears. The mountains are not found. Everybody's going to know about this. Number 11, what will the brightness of Jesus coming do to the living who are wicked? Now you've got the dead in Christ and the living in Christ are caught up. What about the wicked? What happens to them? By the way, nobody here needs to be in this category. Amen. You're here tonight because the Lord wants you to be in the first group. Amen. It says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. The Bible says it's going to be like Lot. They fled from the city and fire rained down from heaven. I just read that to you from 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, read what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then that lawless one, the Antichrist power, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and do what? Destroy with what? The brightness of his coming destroys the wicked. But God's people, they're going to look for it with joy. Number 12, what will the angels do at Jesus' second coming? Christ has promised he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, that same trumpet, and they gather together his elect from the four corners of heaven. That means north, south, east, west. He sends his angels to gather them together. That's how every eye is going to see him. And with the dead in Christ, we will be together. There will be the greatest reunion in history when the Lord comes. Since we're living just before Jesus' second coming, how should we relate to this solemn event? What should be our attitude, friends? Therefore also be ready. Did he say get ready? How many of you know you're going to be alive tomorrow? I'm not trying to frighten you, but you know, not everybody gets a note from the doctor. Sometimes we're surprised. And someone asked a Jewish rabbi, what's the best time to repent? And he said, the last day of your life. And the man said, well, what if you don't know what the last day is? The rabbi said, exactly. Amen. Today, Jesus said, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Amen. Be ready. Live in an attitude of I'm walking with the Lord now. And you can have that experience tonight, friends. You just come as you are to Jesus. How will people be rewarded at Jesus' second coming? There's only two groups, friends. Life and death. Good and bad. Saved and lost. God wants you to have life. One group, Revelation 22:12, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Now, wait a second, Pastor Doug. I thought we're saved by grace. You are. And when you come to Jesus, just like you are, he forgives you all of your sins. You can pray tonight and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to come to you. I don't know how I'm going to live tomorrow, but I'm coming to you now. He'll accept you. He'll forgive you. And then he'll help you live a different life. And your works change when your heart changes. Amen. So the works indicate the life has changed. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. But that saving grace will change your actions. Number 15, what will the wicked say when Jesus comes? Answer, the wicked, Revelation 6:16, they say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You usually don't think about Jesus, the Lamb of God, and wrath. Some people say, I like the God in the New Testament more than the God in the Old Testament. Friends, it's the same God. You got grace in the Old Testament. You got wrath in the New Testament. You got plagues in the Old Testament. You got plagues in the New Testament. You got salvation in the Old Testament. You got salvation in the New Testament. It's all the same God. Amen. And he wants you to be saved. He is desperate for you to be saved. They're going to say, who is able to stand? Jesus said, pray always that you're able to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Number 16. What will the righteous say when Jesus appears? Then they'll say in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him and we'll be glad and rejoice. Paul refers to the second coming as the blessed hope. You should long for it. Now, I know we've got mixed feelings. You got friends maybe that aren't saved and loved ones. You think, I don't want them to come now because they would be lost, and I want them to be saved. But friends, we ought to look forward to that. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm looking forward to a world where there's no more pain or sorrow. There's two groups when Jesus comes. You notice one group. If you go out on a dark night in the woods and you get a flashlight, and you turn over a log or a rock and you shine the light, you can see all these bugs crawl away from the light. You don't have to go to the woods. Just if you have any cockroaches, try it. They run from the light. But if you're out in the woods and you turn on a light, the moths come to the light. There's two kinds of people when Jesus comes. Cockroaches and moths. What do you want to be? You want to be a butterfly, so I like better than moths. Yeah. But you know what? To be a butterfly, to be a moth, there's a metamorphosis. Amen. That takes place. Starts out what looks like a hopeless, grubby little worm attached to the ground, but it eats and it eats and it eats, and it goes through this transformation where it emerges a new creature. And during this seminar, we're going to be feeding on the Word of God, and you're going to experience a transformation. Do not let anything keep you away from that. God's got a big plan for each one of you, friends. I'd like to invite Marguerite to come out. She's going to sing a verse in a familiar song. It's actually, I think, one of Karen's favorites. And then I want to close this program praying for you. And as she sings, I want you to be praying in your heart. All of you could leave tonight knowing that God is your friend and he wants you to be saved. Amen. You just invite him into your hearts. We'll be praying together.
Jesus, then silver or gold, I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than have Jesus.
How many of you would like to say, I'd rather have Jesus? Now, why is the Lord coming? What is the primary purpose that Jesus is coming back? He uses the language of a marriage. He loves his bride. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. What husband would give his life for his bride to build her a mansion and forget the bride? He is desperate for you to be with him. He loves you. And you who are watching at home, and you who are here, I don't know where you are in your life, but I'll tell you, Jesus said the most important thing is to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. He's gone to prepare a place for you, and he wants you to be with him. I know there's 1,000 things going on in your life, and the last thing in the world the devil wants is for you to be at these meetings, because he doesn't want to lose you. Jesus wants to save you. The real battle in life is not a battle between Russia, Ukraine, and Israel in the Middle East. The battle is between good and evil, between Christ and Satan, and they're fighting for the dominion of your heart and your mind. And you've got the tie-breaking vote. How many want to say, Jesus, I want to give you my heart? And you who are watching, you can make that decision now. Let me pray with you. Loving Lord, we want to ask you to come into our hearts. We're coming just as we are. Bless these people, Lord. Bless this series. Fill them with your Spirit and help us be ready. I pray that you'll pour out your Spirit in each person's life. Give us traveling mercies and bring us again. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, all right, friends, when's our next meeting? Tomorrow night, same place. You who are watching, we're going to talk about the prophecy of history. Most amazing Bible prophecy in Scripture. You don't want to miss it. Bring your friends. If you have no friends, bring your enemies. God bless you, and you have a good evening. Thank you very much for coming.